When death comes, the voice is silenced. Or is it? Hebrews 11:4, the writer proclaimed that although Abel was dead, he continued to speak. And God, in talking to Cain about that same idea in Genesis 4:10, said, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." There is, of course, a sense in which one's voice is silenced at death. It does not continue to speak literally. And yet there is a sense in which one's voice continues to cry from the ground. The voice that crieth from the ground. When I planned this lesson for this morning, I had not noticed that today was Memorial Weekend. The lesson that we're studying this morning is appropriate for our thoughts on this special weekend or a time when we think about a Memorial Day. The voice that crieth from the ground. Abel's voice cries out to us this morning in three different ways. It cries against that which is bad, for that which is good, and to us to remind us that we ought to live right so that when we are gone, we'll have the right kind of voice from the ground. I think even you boys and girls are aware that Abel was the one who was killed by his brother Cain. You may well remember the conversation between Cain and God in which God asked Cain, "Where is thy brother?" And Cain said, in a sense, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" It was on that occasion that God talked to Cain and made that statement that the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The blood of Abel that had been shed was in a sense continuing to say that murder is wrong. Cain had killed his brother. And even today, thousands of years later, that voice cries to us and tells us that God does not approve of murder, that he does not want us to take into our hands that which he has reserved for himself, the appointment of man's death. The voice of Abel's blood also was crying out against envy. You will remember that Abel had offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel had offered from the flock with the right attitude, the very best. Cain had offered from the ground, possibly with the wrong attitude, and it may have not even been the best that he could have given of what he gave. God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. He was displeased with Cain's sacrifice. And although the main reason, no doubt, that he was displeased with that sacrifice is that it was not according to what he evidently had told them to use, it may also be the case that he was displeased with Cain's attitude. It's not hard for us to see an attitude of envy on the part of Cain. In fact, God said to him, "Cain, if you'd done what you should have done, you would have been accepted. There was really no problem to exist between you and Abel over this idea of offering a sacrifice." But Cain was envious. Envious of his brother who was doing right. And envious because his brother who was doing right was accepted in the sight of God and he was not. Voice of the blood of Abel cries out very, very clearly today against the sin of envy. The voice of Abel cries out against deceit. Cain not only was guilty of murder, but he seemingly tried to hide it. Of course, there were not many people around at that time to tell on Cain. But he seemingly was suggesting, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not aware of the situation." And yet it is evident, as you and I already knew, that God knew what had happened and that the voice of the blood of Abel was crying unto God concerning the deceit of Cain. And so the blood of that righteous man at that time, as well as today, speaks out against evil as it cries from the ground. But it also speaks out for good. An analysis particularly of the fourth verse of Hebrews 11 will show that God was pleased with the sacrifice that Abel had made, as well as with the righteous living which Abel had practiced. It says that he made a faithful sacrifice, that God noticed his righteous living, and God testified or was a witness to the kind of life that Abel had lived. Cain could silence Abel in one sense of the word, and yet in another way he could not silence him. He could not keep his sacrificial offering to God from continuing to speak. From continuing to speak even, yea, until this day, as a testimony to the importance of worshiping God in the right way and with the right attitude. Abel's blood continued to speak and to emphasize a faithful sacrifice unto God. Although he was dead, there was no action on his part. There was a sense in which God said he continued to speak about the right kind of action, righteous living. And as you and I today read through that great Hall of Fame chapter of Hebrews 11, or go back to the historical account in the book of Genesis, we read about a man who lived right, who set the right kind of example, and whose life continued to be remembered in the mind of God himself, even after that life had ceased on this earth. And that blood speaks out particularly as we sum up these ideas to say to us how important it is to be pleasing in the sight of God, and how that God will never forget what we do, no matter what man does to us, no matter how short our lives may be here. God will never forget what we do. If we live whatever life we live in his service, to his glory, and to the giving of praise to his name. The blood of Abel crieth from the ground for the principles of righteousness and faithful sacrifice and pleasing God instead of pleasing men. It speaks against evil. It speaks for good. And perhaps more important to us, it speaks to us today to remind us that somewhere in the future, if God lets this earth continue, that you and I will be speaking only from the ground. And because of that, that we need to take advantage of the opportunity of each day that we live to prepare so that that voice that speaketh from the ground will speak in the right way. Reminds us today that we ought to let our minds go back to the people who've gone before us, who've meant so much to us and done so much for us. Each of us this morning, in a family way, can think back to the voices that are crying to us from the ground. Each of us, in a very personal way, can remember those good things that were done and those good things that continue to linger in our minds, though our ancestors have gone to the ground years ago. We need to be mindful of what was done and what was left and the influence that was there. Oh, this morning, if we were to let ourselves, it would take only a moment or so to begin to be reminded of so many things that have happened. In a more general way, those of you that go out to farm and particularly think of cotton, almost immediately remember Eli Whitney. When we turn on the electricity, the name of Thomas Edison comes to mind. And we could go on and on with those who have invented things and have left their mark in the lives of people of this world in a good way. Were we to go to Washington, D.C. and just walk around the mall, we would look at Washington Monument, Lincoln's Monument, Jefferson's Monument, among others. And though George Washington has been dead for literally hundreds of years, we would be reminded of him as the father of our nation. And as we thought of Thomas Jefferson, no doubt we would think of some of those documents that mean so much to the welfare of our nation. And who could ever forget the impact that Abraham Lincoln had, particularly in the area of human rights? Those men have been dead for years, and yet their voices continue to speak. Were we to come a little closer home and to visit the cemeteries where our parents, grandparents, and others have been buried and look at the marker that's there, we would see a memorial that has been raised to the memory of that individual person. And even in looking at that marker, we would hear voices from the ground, figuratively speaking. We would only have to step outside this building and go a few steps to really apply the principle. N.B. Hardiman has been dead for years, and yet he speaks even as we look at his house across the street and think of his name connected with the university. A.G. Fried has been dead for years, and yet the influence of that man, particularly to hold to the path of truth, continues to speak today. Were we to begin to walk around the campus, the name of Dixon, Hall, Roland, so many others would come to mind. And each of us in a personal way could remember those times that the voice was still there, and yet those words that were said continue to ring today to promote the ideas of Christian education, Christianity in general, righteousness, good things. Laura Laycook has been dead only a few days, and yet her voice continues to speak, and every time that her books, especially the one that was prepared to teach children, is used, her voice will continue to ring forth for the principles of righteousness. Over and over again, these voices cry from the ground. And those of you that are in the audience this morning who grew up in Henderson or have been here most of your lives could let your eyes wander around this very auditorium, and you could think of people who sat over here and here and here who are gone now and yet who continue to speak as their influence is shown. And think of the men who have stood in this very place where I stand this morning. Men whose bodies are in the ground and yet whose voices have not been silenced, but whose voices continue to speak from the ground to say to us how important it is to uphold those very principles that are mentioned in connection with the story of Abel. The right kind of sacrifice and worship to God, the right kind of righteous living, and trying to be pleasing in the sight of God in all the things that we do. Oh, so many ways, in so many ways, the voices cry to us this morning from the ground. It may be a book who was written by someone years ago that has become a classic, and when we think of that book, we think of that person's name. It may be a tape of a sermon or a lesson or a lecture or just some information that was made years ago, but we still have it in our possession and take it out once in a while and listen to what was said by that person that meant so much. In so many ways, we're influenced by those who have gone beyond. And that influence comes in different ways. There are certain decisions that have been made, certain laws that have been passed that have been identified with the names of people, and those voices continue to speak from the ground. I don't know that we will ever outlive the Roe Wade decision and the impact that it has had on this nation in an infamous way. And yet, if we were to think long enough, we could think of those good decisions that have been made down through the years that make it possible for us to come where we are this morning. I'm persuaded that the works of Revelation 14:13 that follow the one who's died in the Lord include more than just being there at the judgment, but include the following after their life and the influence that is here on this earth. Sometimes it's a namesake. My father-in-law was Ben Anderson, one of the finest Christian gentlemen that ever lived. Our son is named Ben Anderson Flat. The grandson carries the same name. There is a sense in which that namesake reminds us of his voice that continues to speak, though the body has been in the ground for several years. In so many ways, influence continues in the lives of those children and grandchildren and even friends who have been influenced. And as we think of it, especially this morning, I think we need to think of it in a positive way. Those who have been influenced in so many good ways by so many good people who have lived in this area and who have touched our lives. The voice continues to cry from the ground. And all of this behooves you and me to think about how we lived, how we act, and how we plan ahead. Because one of these days, that'll be the only way that you and I can speak to those that are left behind. how we live will have its effect in our children, grandchildren, and others. How we conduct the affairs of our lives today will determine the kind of voice that speaks tomorrow. And I think it is even appropriate for us to think about and plan ahead relative to our possessions, to our money. I think there is a specific way in which, by having a will and by controlling the situation that happens even after we're gone, that we can help control how our voices speak from the ground, especially in cases where there are no children. If there is not thought put to this, that the voice might speak in the right way, the law of the land will take its course, and in some instances, it's not the course that God would want. A man died at Baxter, Tennessee, a few years ago. He left an estate of $75,000, requested that it go to the national debt. And you're well aware that it didn't change it much. Another man in Tullahoma, Tennessee, died while we were living there. A man whose life was not the perfect example. In fact, he was murdered by two of his call girls and their male companions. But he left $400,000 in a trust to be given as a scholarship to graduates of Tullahoma High School. Four children of ours received a scholarship from that, 4 years each, 16 years of scholarship. One way his voice didn't cry very positively from the ground, and yet in another way it did. We think we don't have anything, but if we'd sit down and look at what we have and what we control, particularly taking into account insurance policies and things like that, most of us have an estate, were we to die, that's bigger than we think. What will happen to it? What do we do today to plan for what happens tomorrow that we may control the situation? I think it's a shame that someone live a Christian life for many years, accumulate maybe a little bit of this earth's goods, and then die and let it all go in some other direction other than to support Christ, Christianity, and the things that are good. We need to think about these things. We need to think about what we're doing today, and this is just an illustration of a bigger situation. To live in such a way that we not only leave the right kind of memory, but leave the right kind of instructions where it is possible for us to control, that the voice that speaks from the ground can speak in a positive way. Abel's voice spoke against evil, it spoke for good, and it speaks to us today to cause us to be mindful of all that's been done for us and mindful of what we need to do to have the right kind of influence on others. Yes, the voice truly speaks from the ground. And we might also stop and think that the voice of Christ speaks, and I almost made a mistake in saying speaks from the ground, when in reality it doesn't, because he came forth from the ground and went back to the right hand of the throne of God. But even though it's different in that way, it's the same in that it speaks to us today. The message of Christ speaks to us though he's been gone from this earth for years. Some 1,960 years ago, he ascended into the clouds, promised to return, but he has not yet, and we don't know when he will. But the voice of his message, that is a voice of salvation to all people everywhere, continues to ring out throughout the world today. His voice crieth unto us and invites us to come to him. And in somewhat the same sense that it was the blood of Abel that was speaking, it is the blood of Christ that is speaking. That blood of Christ that has the power to cleanse us from all our sins and to make it possible for us to walk in the light toward that wonderful place of heaven when this life is over. The voice of Jesus continues to speak, though it was silenced on this earth on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. The voice that crieth from the ground, and the voice that crieth from the right hand of God, that it encourages us to do right. And to the one who is not a Christian, who's not been baptized into Jesus Christ, it is that voice of Christ that cries this morning and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." To the one who needs to be restored and to respond in that sense, it is that voice that comes from the dead that cries through the message of the Bible and says, come back home, and I will forgive." And if you and I don't listen to the voice that crieth from the dead, there is no hope. Listen to it and come to it. as together we stand and sing.